This is RSBNB Update, episode 311, recorded Friday, June 3rd, 2011. We're just a children's show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to this episode of RSBNB Update. We're here with the pot roasting King Kulla and Paulina, PFK99, Silverwiz 9, etc.
The guy who married some guy on RuneScape.
I didn't say that this week. You said that.
Thanks.
I know, I couldn't resist.
I will remember this.
And I don't know how you became pot roasting King Kulla.
I don't know either. Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
I was going to ask, is there some inside joke I don't quite know about? Is Kulla a really good chef?
Possible.
Oh. Anyways.
I think it's because you said my name as Kulina in the question topic. So therefore I'm a girl, therefore
I said what?
I'm very good at cooking and being in the kitchen.
What did I say in the questions topic?
Paul and Kulina will be here this week or something like that.
Oh.
So
oh,
thank
weird.
You. I'm, yes.
Oh, I meant Paulina and Kulla.
Yeah.
I may have edited the post.
What did it originally say?
Oh, how dare you, Paul? Now I don't feel guilty for telling everyone.
Fine, we're even.
What did it originally say?
You had it as sure. Paulina and Kulla, and I was like, no. Because you sent me the link about 20 seconds after you posted it. I just changed it, and there we go. I wasn't going to say anything.
So that's where Earth saying Kulina came from.
Yes.
I saw it there, but I thought it was just Shane's idea of a joke.
Exactly. Wow.
I thought I said Paulina, but okay.
This week, Paul and Kulina will be with me. Wow. Okay. So, Paul
Sorry.
And I switched genders this past week. Yay!
Hey, I was never a woman.
Okay.
You were always a woman.
Okay. Let's.
Anyways,
let's grab this show and let's get it into place here. So, it's June
popular.
Now. The Fremenix sagas have been released. The update that was supposed to be the last update in May. So let's have a quick chat about this. There's three sagas. First up, Three's Company, Vengeance, and then Thock It To 'Em.
Thock It To 'Em?
Yeah, Thock It To 'Em. That's exact. They gave the phonetic naming.
Yeah.
THOKITTO apostrophe EM. Thock It To 'Em.
As opposed to Sock It To 'Em.
Oh, okay.
Or something that would make the sensor go beep.
So, Three's Company is free to play. Bearskin for 1 through 11 requires 11 Dungeoneering and, as above, 30 attack, magic, and ranged for the unabridged version of it. Vengeance is members need to find a collection of swords on floors 12 to 21, 23 Dungeoneering for abridged and as above, plus 55 agility and thieving for the unabridged version. And finally, for Thock It To 'Em, on floors 30 to 40, 59 Dungeoneering for abridged and as above, plus 70 strength for the unabridged version. So, basically what these are is little expansions for the Dungeoneering storyline that is developed throughout your course of going through the Daemonheim dungeon. So this is just a bit of an extra kind of, I guess, third-person view on Dungeoneering. So if you're interested in Dungeoneering, you'll probably enjoy this. If you consider Dungeoneering as a minigame and, you know, you just raise it to get your skill total up, then, you know, these might not be for you. So, but there
do
are
you think
some...
it would? Do you think it would get someone that doesn't really like Dungeoneering to play it?
Yeah, it would, because the top one, if you wanted some XP, the top one gives 37k Dungeoneering XP and 75k Strength XP. That's the top level one.
That's a pretty
not
good
too bad. Yeah.
The
pretty
one in the middle gives 25,000 in either agility or thieving, and 2,400 Dungeoneering XP, and the lowest one will give 750 Dungeoneering XP or 3700 XP in attacked, ranged, or magic. So it's kind of woos you in through this. And, you know, I'd put this on the same level as a distraction and diversion as a part of Dungeoneering, because you can only play it for the full XP value once, of course, you know? So that makes it feel like that. And also, to unlock it, first off, you need to go through the lower-level Dungeoneering floors and unfreeze this guy that will randomly appear. And then after that, you'll be able to go out by the reward cellar there and start the first one. So it does require a bit of luck to find it, not like as it's a true rare thing or anything, but it's not something you can just go and start up right away. So it's something you kind of need to work up to, kind of like something that would be hidden throughout, I guess. So
almost like a side quest dish.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's a good way of describing it. And, you know, like, I was hoping these would kind of make Dungeoneering seem more as though it was actually a real skill, you know, and not just something to do on the side, but it just further enhances the storyline of it. It doesn't go anywhere in terms of making it a real skill yet, which is kind of disappointing to me still. So,
at this point, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, because, you know, they say they have lots more left to do on Dungeoneering, and they want to essentially complete it. Like, you know, it's kind of annoying in that respect. That's been out for over a year, and we're still working to complete it when, like, I'm not even sure what the general community feels about Dungeoneering, if it's worth the time or not.
Well, I have a feeling that there's a small portion that really enjoy it, and then there's a huge portion that just doesn't bother with it whatsoever.
I put myself in that huge portion.
Yeah, same here.
I think most do, actually. Like, just from looking on RuneWire in the forums, you know? I see, like, maybe 5 or 6 people that like it, and then the rest just are kind of ambivalent towards it.
Yeah. Paul, you got an ice cream truck going around or something?
It's not me.
Okay. Cola?
Not me, either.
Oh, okay. I heard some kind of, like, dingling.
Sounds like wind chimes, perhaps?
Oh, that might be it. Oh, okay. Hold on a second. I'll close the window. Keep talking.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Paul, you think you would go do this?
I'm not going to come back to play Dungeoneering, so... Okay. No. Sorry. Plus, I'd have to actually ditch all my member stuff, which means I wouldn't be able to put it back on.
Yes, that's true.
Kind of sucks. Not that I play so much anymore, but...
Call it back yet from the window?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah.
Would you be interested in logging in to do some free-to-play Dungeoneering?
Probably not.
Oh, it's not even ranked. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. So, if you're interested in Dungeoneering, you'll enjoy this. But and it's not a high-level Dungeoneering update. It's, as we can see, the vast majority of it is low, below 50-ish or so. There's only one of them that requires more than
59 for the abridged, which is still not all that high.
Yep. So,
and the other skills that you need for the unabridged aren't very high either. I mean, 70 strength isn't exactly difficult to get.
Yep.
Even in free-to-play. Because I did it.
Yes, you did lots of stuff in free-to-play.
Yeah. I believe I got up to 80 in free-to-play, so... 70 is doable. 80 is a bit of a stretch.
Do you guys see that they got these pieces of concept art attached to these news posts now? Like the Beastmaster?
Mm-hmm. Looks nice.
Yeah, it's too bad that they couldn't have that much detail in-game, eh?
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on to the tweaks and fixes of the week. The skylighting effect that appeared in Port Serum last week has spread over the rest of the freelance. Take a stroll from Lumbridge to Drainer and then pop over to the Wizard's Tower of the Grand Exchange to see the new effects. Now, I'm assuming either of you guys logged in this week.
I actually did log in. I logged back out.
Oh, okay. Did you see the lighting?
I was in Edgeville.
Oh, okay. So yeah, then you would have seen the lighting.
No.
Okay.
No. Sorry.
Well, basically... Yeah,
I didn't either, but I saw pictures of it and it looked pretty good.
It's brighter. It's brighter. And, you know, it pops out more and it makes it... It has that same feeling that I was talking about in Draenor Village last week, that it feels as though it's not RuneScape. It feels as though it's something... A bigger game with a more powerful graphics engine, the way they're doing this lighting kind of things like that.
That's good.
But I'm still trying to figure out why the fog has changed to blue. From sand.
Just magic smoke.
I don't know. Like, I think sand was more logical and easier on the eyes, but anyways. So, it's always these little updates that are like that are good.
Maybe they wanted to point out that it was actually fog and not just smoke, you know, because in a game, I assume that smoke and fog would look very similar, especially
yes,
games
would.
Such as this. So that's probably why they made it blue. I mean, you never have blue smoke.
Yeah. Don't diesel engines make blue smoke?
Not unless there's something wrong with it.
Yeah, okay. Usually they make black smoke.
That's still something wrong with it, man. We've got a lot of diesel stuff around here, and it's all pretty smoke-free. It's nice.
Okay. And finally, yeah. They've updated areas of Relica, including all the building structures and boats, and given the area a new atmospheric dusky lighting effect. You know, I completely missed this in the notes when I was reading this. I didn't go take a look at it.
That's where my house is, so if that was numbers, I'd see it real easy.
Yeah.
I like Relica's a good spot.
Oops, I'm sorry, everyone, but go take a look at Relica and post pictures on RuneWire for me. Anyways, patch notes, anybody want to mention anything in here?
Nothing all that fantastic.
The one that I noticed first reading of this was Ned's wife and Draenor has moved back into the house after being kicking out the random man.
It's kind of funny.
Well, that's good.
Like, you know, you wonder how these kind of things happen like that, but if that was
I thought
like...
you would have noticed the one below it. The ability to plant two spirit trees has been added to the farming skill advanced guide.
Oh, I missed that as well, and I even did a farming run yesterday. But I didn't look at the farming skill advanced guide. But yeah, why did I miss that? Okay. Let's see. Friends chat now correctly states where the leave button is. That's good. I think they messed up a tooltip on that.
Stall owners will forgive you if you've stolen from their stalls after a certain amount of time. That's also pretty good.
Yeah, I'm guessing there is a problem. There was a problem introduced in the Draenor update, maybe, that made it so that once you stole, you couldn't steal again. So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't sell back to them, otherwise they wouldn't care.
Yeah. But the biggest one on this week is Ned's wife moving back in with him. See, even in RuneScape, people can reconcile the differences.
Aww. Hats off to Ned.
Yep, just had to point that out.
Yeah.
Ned moves back in. Okay, so behind the scenes for June. Let's start off from the top, I guess, with Deadliest Catch. It's going to be a master quest, and that's Thalassus that we named as per the guaranteed content pool.
Huh.
It's the size of the Wizard's Tower, and it's going to be a sea creature that has to be slayed.
Jeez.
You'll need fishing level 70.
It certainly does
67,
look pretty vicious.
And thieving level 60. And once again, they got the concept art on here for the Devourer. Which was apparently what they named it in production, but now we know it's going to be called Thalassus.
That's interesting. It's a vicious-looking fish.
The interesting part of this is that it wieldable fishing nets, a range of bank deposit boxes, and the opportunity to embark 10 more times for additional hunter XP. So.
Oh, that'd be good. I hate getting 100 XP.
You're going to have to be able to do this little thing plus 10 times to get Hunter XP. And then the next thing, it takes part in the troll area by the Warriors Guild. Forget forum trolls. If you want a real nuisance, you can't beat the real thing. Trolls are swarming down the hills of Berthorpe and threatening to lay waste to any Imperial guard that gets in their way. So this is Troll Invasion. It's one of those wave-type games where you face up to 20 waves of increasing difficulty and you have to kill the trolls. So if anybody's played Gears of War or Nazi Zombies, that's the same kind of thing that goes on here. Different waves, and you just have to keep killing them. Mm-hmm. Now, it was only a matter of time before Jagex brought something in like this.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know. It sounds interesting to me.
Kind of like Fight Caves.
Yeah, but you know, that's not multiple coming at you at the same time. It's two or three at most.
Yeah.
And then they say, if that proves too easy, there's a more intense 7-wave version to conquer, which has an increased difficulty level. And, you know, they also say there's going to be options for the skillers and whatnot, so you'll be able to keep the gatehouse maintained, tend to the ballista, top up oil vats, repair broken barricades to keep the trolls from being successful. So it's going to be another team-based thing, and it's not going to be all about combat, so. And you only have to hold out for 10 minutes.
That's not too bad.
No. Mm-hmm. And you'll gain experience on the first events each month and smaller XP rewards for any defense you complete after that.
Kind
now
of,
the question is going to be, how much XP are they going to give?
Well, if it's repeatable, it's not going to be more than 10k. I can't imagine it being more than that.
Well, you know, you can get more than that each week from the Penguins, depending on your level.
Yeah. And you can put that in anywhere. This would probably be more of a combat.
Yeah, that would make sense with maybe minor experience values handed out to the skilling skills, because they mentioned skilling in it as in keeping it safe, so.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Probably things like crafting, for instance.
Mm-hmm. That makes
construction.
Sense.
Construction.
Yeah.
Build up a wall to protect yourself for 10 minutes.
Fletching for the ballista, you know, stuff like that.
Alrighty, now this next thing, it's what everybody didn't want to believe when Clans and the Wilderness came back, but Jagex is serious about player retention this year, so this month we got loyalty rewards! Yay!
Right.
The Members Loyalty Program. Earn loyalty points to unlock a fantastic range of items from custom titles to unique emotes, exclusive new costumes and amazing auras in a new player worn slot. Don't forget to register within the first 2 weeks of launch to take advantage of our introductory offers on the fantastic selection of rewards.
Well, it's not going to get me coming back, but okay. I mean, seriously, it's like...
Emotes and costumes. I wasn't aware that those actually were at all useful.
Well, these are more of a show-off thing, aren't they? So we don't know if they're going to be useful.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, they can't even make weapons or armor all that great. It's not going to be worth wearing if it's going to be free. So,
I'd like to see something. I'd like to see this expand out through everything relating, like, have the new slot not just be combat related, but have it be everything. Have something to help me with my farming. Have something to help people who are thieving. Have something to help people who are hunting, you know? Don't just leave it to combat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this loyalty program is a good first step, because I'm going to put something out there right here that Jagex could do with this to help their current problem with the bots and whatnot. So let's say we have this loyalty rewards program, and everybody's going to have the chance to get these items in the game at some point, right? Through doing something, being loyal in some way or another. That's what we assume this is the premise of this, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now let's assume that Jagex is looking for another stream of revenue. What Jagex could do in order to attract more people to the game is apply microtransactions to these loyalty rewards. So, in effect, you know, let's say there's a really good loyalty reward, but you're just not quite there yet. You could pay Jagex a small amount of money, whatever those tokens are that they use in that Legends game. You pay them those tokens and get this reward right away, and there is another source of income for Jagex. I mean, this,
so,
like,
instead
this
of actually, so instead of actually being loyal, you're just being a douche nozzle.
No, you can buy them. It's a perfectly good economic thing to make more
money. Yeah, but then you're not
the
loyal.
Company.
You're just willing to pay money. I mean,
so what's wrong with that? If you like the game, you'll pay money.
They're
like
buying your loyalty. That's not loyalty. That's not.
But you can get them through.
Plus, I just hate microtransactions. They've pretty much implemented microtransactions into every other game they've developed, and no one seems to like them. It's just
a
cash dump.
I love the idea. If you like
the game,
no one
likes them, but people use them, which is the
exactly
problem.
Exactly.
Like, take Star Trek Online for example. I bought a ship and I bought some uniforms for my crew.
And the reason why most people don't play it is because it's too expensive.
This is just aside from it. This was just using the tokens I got with the game.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you like the game, just like I like Star Trek, you'd be inclined to pay money for something like this, you know? Like, I think it's a good idea.
Well,
as long as the items you get that are available to buy are also available through a means where you don't have to pay as well.
Then it's just going to devalue what you earned. Like, if I get, say, 500 of these points for some... They have that nice picture, that glowing sword. So say that costs 500 of these points, and I was a member for 5 years, and I earned enough points to finally buy this friggin' sword. I get the sword, and some little kid from, you know, who just started it last year pays $50 for it, gets the sword. It's the same. There's no difference in those swords.
But that's also how it works in Star Trek Online. Like, they got these advanced ships for the Admiral levels, like a upgraded Defiant Fighter or something. And, you know, you have to do certain things in-game to get it. But if you're at that level, you can just buy the ship right off, even if you do those things. So it's like the same thing. I don't have a problem with that.
There is a bit of a problem with that, in that they basically, with War of Legends, the game they came out with last year, they basically introduced a way of microtransactions to directly get ahead of everyone else if you paid money. And they basically made a news post on their new game, 8 Realms, that basically said they weren't going to implement microtransactions that directly get you ahead, and that you won't be able to spend to get your way to the top. You actually have to do well in play, which is something that's a lot better than what this would do. You know?
It's just like real life. If you have the money, why shouldn't you be allowed to get ahead?
Yeah.
Microtransactions to me are a spawn from the devil, so I would not be in favor of any microtransactioning of RuneScape whatsoever, and I actually try to stay away from all games that do that now, so it would basically just be the final nail in the coffin. If
another thing
that
would be good...
It's a slippery slope. Where do they end with it? Do they start selling in-game stuff for money as well? You know, that... I mean,
I think that'd be a good idea as well.
No, it would be a terrible idea. You'd buy a dragon longsword for 1,000 KGB.
No.
Or you could buy it for $5. You know.
No, not, I mean, like a dragon longsword. Like there are items that would be they would just be special items that you could get only from the microtransaction.
So then that's going around what you were saying before, that you couldn't earn them anyway.
Yeah, but. Like, I'm saying the loyalty ones are something you could earn, but I'm saying there could also be ones that you shouldn't be able to earn if they had a microtransaction system. Forget who was telling me they bought a hat on TF2.
Yeah, there's a large underground market for that. Yeah, there is. I should probably sell all my hats, because I've got, not a lot, but they're hats. I would gladly sell them.
They're hats. You don't need them. They just look cool.
I got my
some
iPod earbuds.
Cool, yeah, yeah. Hmm. Those are actually worth some cash or refined metal in that case.
Alrighty, I don't know how we got on TF2, but
microtransactions.
There was one hat that someone had. Like, it's a Severed Max's head, I think it was. $150.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd pay that for that.
But if you like TF2, if you love the game, you have the hat. It'll make you have more fun when you're playing, and if you enjoy
But you don't
it,
even see
good.
The hat when you're in-game.
No, but everybody
it's
else
first
does,
person.
And you can
it's
get
like, oh, look at that douche nozzle. He's got a severed Max's head.
Oh, anyways, moving on. We'll talk about this when it gets released, but I think microtransactions will be coming to RuneScape this year, given what
And
you
I certainly hope not.
What you said about Rabble, World Legends.
Yes. Rabble. But still.
And it would be a good way to combat the real-world traitor people.
And on another note, they've also ruined games by implementing microtransactions.
Well, it's possible. It's also possible to ruin a game when you ask your players what you'd like to do with the game and bring the wilderness back or something. Isn't that right, Jagex?
Has it ruined the game, though?
Do not dig.
Well, it has a bit, but I think it was decided by them. And what was that, Paul?
That's what they're doing on Dig.
What?
They're asking
people what they like after they
screwed
it up.
But they're not making big changes that can affect the Dig is not an economy that has all these things, moving parts to it. Dig is a website, and that's fine with a website.
Okay, that's how you want to justify it.
Yeah, I want Undig back on Dig, because I accidentally dug something that was kind of not me. But anyway.
Shane dug some porn.
No, it wasn't that. All right, Rated Clan Wars Tournament, take two. All right, so all systems are go. They're relaunching the Rated Clan Wars Tournament this week to find the true champions of the Rated Clan Wars Arena. So whether you're at the top or new to it, all clans are welcome to take part. So you have until Friday, June 10th at 5 p.m., and at that time, the top 10 rated clans will be seeded based on their rank, similar as to how other real-world sports tournaments do it. And then after that, there will be matchups, and it'll gradually make its way out to a winner. And they say, in order to keep things fair, there's a 100-player limit, which, you know, is good.
That's good.
Because, yeah. Pat, I'm sure you had cases back when you were involved in the clan thing when there used to be, I'd imagine, 1,500 people against 500 or something, maybe, in a clan fight?
Yeah, well, what would normally happen is if they both clans agreed to it, they could just, well, you wouldn't be able to count the number of members. You'd go by the number of options. So you'd have a cap of, say, 250 options, which would end up being like 90 people or 80 people or something like that, and they'd just level it off, because that way it's a better indicator of how powerful a clan is by the strength of the members and not the numbers of the members. So normally that's what would happen. So it's kind of like that, and it means that the clans that have less members will be able to still compete in this pretty well. And it doesn't look like too many people have signed up so far. And looking at the names, it looks like Portal 2 has really taken over, eh?
Where? Which names is this?
I see. In the round one, you've got Aperture Science, GLaDOS Lovers, Cave Johnson, Companion Coop, Edgeless Safety Cube...
Peabody is from Portal 2.
Yeah, Peabody. Oh.
I need to play that game.
Yeah,
I need to play the single player.
Yeah.
Anyways. So if you're a clan, you ought to be interested in that if you're a fighting clan.
Guaranteed the big clans that have been around since the dawn of time will probably take over.
Yep. Enter and kick some butt.
It's always been it's always been known that the well-organized clans that operate outside of the RuneScape forums always do way better than the ones that organize on the RSF.
Oh yeah, that makes sense completely, because it's they just they just have more experience than the people who are in this too. So,
yeah.
Anyways,
even when they've had a significant member disadvantage, they've still come out with wins, which is really funny. It's all about tactics and skill, really.
Yeah, which is good, because it doesn't seem like there's much of that in RuneScape.
Yeah, I think if you make it more fun for yourselves, you'll do better. And I think that's what the clans have done.
Yep. I'm really enjoying this three-finger swipe down gesture in Chrome to get a top-down view of all my tabs.
Have you seen the new print preview screen?
No, because I don't print anything.
I've printed some stuff to PDF, and I like their new UI for that.
I will have a look later. Anyways, next up, quick poll. Which of these do you follow RuneScape on? Alrighty, this is going to be a shock. We're going to start from the bottom and work our way up. At 2%, Twitter. More than one of these, 10%. Facebook, 18%, YouTube, 24%, and none of these at 46%.
Ouch. That's so impressive. Almost a quarter of the people follow Jagex on YouTube.
Well, yeah, you know, that makes sense, because, you know, most people who are 12, 13, 14, 15 spend most of their days on YouTube watching who knows what to whoever they're subscribed to, right?
Twitter.com/RuneScape has 17,607 followers.
I'm two of them.
Is that their official one?
That's their official one.
I used to follow them. I'm pretty sure I stopped.
It used to be official Jagex, which actually has more members following than RuneScape. They've got 18,000.
Yeah, see, they split that off. They split it off into ones for their company and ones for the RuneScape one. But, you know, the RuneScape one really isn't even used that much anymore. So.
And they retweet from the RuneScape one a lot anyhow. But the official Jagex one isn't used very much either, like a couple every week or so.
The last one's from the 24th, so.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say that they've failed on Twitter. But that's because they always need to have one member, like, dedicated to social media. It looks like right now it's that Mod Scorpion dude. I remember it used to be AJD, and I never knew what happened to him. He just disappeared.
I don't know. People had a thing going on to bring him back or something, but I don't know. And, you know, I think his Twitter strategy was better than Scorpion's, because he'd actually retweet stuff from the user base and the fan sites, whereas Scorpion just likes talking to the people and tweets out the RuneScape stuff, you know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Scorpion's
He probably just left the company.
Yeah. That was my thoughts, too.
So, clearly they've failed on Twitter, then.
No, you know, the problem is that people don't, at the age and demographic of RuneScape players, just don't use Twitter. Like, as evident, they use YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that Facebook's only 18%. You'd think it would be higher.
Yeah, I thought it would be more, given their most exclusive giveaway.
Well, it could still go up, but, yeah.
So, the giveaway. So this one's exclusive to Facebook. All you need to do is like them, give them a bit of information, and you're set. The top three winners will receive one set of the following: exclusive signed and framed canvas print of concept art from the game, a signed copy of both TS Church RuneScape books, a signed mouse mat by the J-Mods themselves, the biggest bundle of RuneScape goodies we have ever given away, including t-shirts, hoodies, laptop and phone skins, hats, and much more.
I read the laptop and phone skins. I was like, laptop and a phone? Skins. Aww.
Hats. It's hats. Always hats.
TF2.
So you can dress like a RuneScape player. You can play. You can deck out your bookshelf to look like a RuneScape player. Going to put art on the wall, make you look like a RuneScape player.
You can dress like a RuneScape player while you're in RuneScape playing RuneScape.
Yeah.
Dog.
In a RuneScape room. Yo, also, I heard you like RuneScape, so we put a RuneScape.
The 10 runners-up will receive a signed mouse mat and free t-shirt.
I think they'd send you like a year's worth of RuneScape membership. That'd be
Nice. I think that would be better and probably cheaper for them to do too, you know.
Just a code.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Would you guys wear a RuneScape t-shirt?
No. Probably not.
Maybe underneath a hoodie that I never took off that did not have anything to do with RuneScape.
Oh, you guys.
It's more... You know what? That's the funny thing. It's a social stigma. It's officially more cool to be seen in the real world as playing WoW than it is playing RuneScape.
Which is unfortunate.
I've never figured it out. They're both nerdy video games.
Maybe it's because William Shatner did that WoW commercial.
Or Mr. T.
I was going to say, so did Mr. T.
Anyways. Oh, gosh. This is turning out to be one, like, weird show so far.
Well, it's an all audio question show, so that's why it's weird.
Yeah, and it does help. I'm done with it. The June community newsletter. So this is JX's little community newsletter they like to call the Gilinor Globe. This month in RuneScape. Competitions, players' galleries, clan updates, clan spotlight, and etc., etc. Then we get down to the player submission section, which is something I want to share with you guys. RuneScape theme, metal version by Arlen Ice, I guess.
Arlen's.
Okay. Hard to read that italicized. Anyways, here we go. We'll listen to a bit of this. So what do you guys think? Yeah, that is good.
I like it.
Yeah. Actually, that's the first music that I've heard that was RuneScape that I liked. So.
It's the first one that I've heard in a while that I've liked.
Yeah, I guess
we've got an audio question about that later, too, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We do, indeed.
A very well-produced audio question.
So, a very good rendition there of the RuneScape theme song. Rest of this will be, you can find it in the community newsletter, or I guess we'll put a link directly to that in the extended show notes, so enjoy
that. And I saw that playing out with Facebook when I tried to log in yesterday, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Gonna go ahead and not link those accounts.
But I did.
Kula is now playing Facebook. Now playing RuneScape.
No, it doesn't.
Join him
it doesn't,
on Facebook.
They don't do wall postings yet. They said that's something they're going to do in the future.
This is just for logging in, then?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, I guess.
Yep. It goes with my whole unified identity thing. I just don't think Facebook is the right thing to do it at this point for me.
Probably. I actually think it's easier to type out the username and password rather than typing in my Facebook email and my Facebook password.
Alrighty. Anyways, that's it for RuneScape updates this week, unless anybody else has any earth-shattering revelations.
Speaking of earth-shattering...
No, that question is second.
Okay.
First question is from Zen Twilight.
Dearest Toast of RSBNB Update, I have a question this week about money and RuneScape. Do you like making money in RuneScape from hard work or through luck? I personally prefer a combination of the two, in the way of killing monsters until they drop something good and worth the time. For example, a few weeks ago, I received 50 million GP as split of a divine sigil. I'd killed countless corporate beasts before that drop, which is very hard work, but I was also very lucky because that is an extremely rare drop. What are your opinions on this? Thank you for answering my questions. Zant Twilight out.
I prefer the golden horseshoes, as we said before in the pre-show.
So all out luck for Shane. No skill involved.
What is there to say that skill in RuneScape in relation to making money? Is that, like, what would you say that is? Like, I don't know, farming?
Well, pretty much anything you do to make money. So you did farming, or you really advocate for farming, I'd say.
But that's not my luck method. Like, you don't make that much for it, but, like, I'm saying if you're talking about a lot of money like Zant did here, I would say yes, definitely luck. Like, just like my third age plate legs a few years back before I got my wisdom teeth taken out. Perfect reason to go into surgery.
Yeah, nothing like going into life and getting something in RuneScape. Yeah. Now go get your tonsils out, and now you might get, you know, a sigil or something.
Yeah, or that white party hat.
There you go. Well, I don't think you're just going to find one of those, but, well, then again, you know, it's luck, so
yeah.
I guess you can now. I don't know. I would say, you know, luck is nice, but skill at least is more constant stream of flow of money.
But what skill can make a constant stream of money?
Slayer.
But that's luck. That's luck. Based on
lots,
the drops.
Lots of drops.
Yeah, but after a while, it's not luck. You do get drops. I mean, I got to level 99, and sure, some of the times it was luck, but out of the sheer amount that I did, it wasn't luck. It was just, I wouldn't really call it skill, but it was just the fact that I did it so much that I got a lot of money out of it. At least what I would call a lot of money.
Kala? I'm kind of on the fence, you know, because on the one hand, I like the spontaneity of the luck drops, you know? It's nice to get something good after not getting something good for quite a while. On the other hand, if it was more uniform, it would be a bit more boring. Like, say, all monsters had a unified drop of, say, 10,000 coins. And you got that every time you killed a monster, you got 10,000 coins, you know? So I like the fact that the luck drops make it so you can get bigger things once in a while. I don't know. I still like the way he worded the question, though, is would you prefer it based on luck or hard work? And I think I like it better based on hard work. So if you're fighting a bigger, badder monster, I think it should be easier to get a higher level drop. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that makes sense. Just as long as it's to the point where it doesn't pollute the economy with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, like that's a perk for working for so long, you know, probably even better than one of the loyalty rewards we talked about earlier, you know, so.
Well, I think that's the benefit of making higher level drops untradeable.
Yeah, that's good.
That way you have to work towards getting it. You know?
Yeah.
I guess that goes towards our microtransaction thing earlier.
I like microtransactions.
But I think based on hard work, it's better to do it that way. So I hope they do decide to do something like that.
Well, they already have. It's called the God Wars Dungeon.
Yeah, but still.
Next. Corporeal beast, tormented demons for dragon claws. What else is there that's big like that? Bork, the skeleton whore for elite clues.
And those things all drop untradeable big.
Well,
items
no, not
that you
untradeable
would
items.
Well, that's what I'm not meaning. You know.
Yeah, okay. There, you are right in that there's a lack of untradeable high-level items that are like that. That That is true. Right now, those high-level items come from Dungeoneering, which I don't know if you could call Dungeoneering a hard work or not, since it's like a mini-game, but we're back to top of the show now.
Yeah, we're back to the same arguments that we were going through like a year ago.
Yeah. Anyways.
I'd like to say your quote, but I'm not going to.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Probably true in the regard of RuneScape. Not true in most every other...
Well, yeah, that's what I said when the wilderness was first removed. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And it was right. Anyways.
I think that answers your question in a roundabout way. We're the master of non sequiturs.
Next up, Earth, with another one of his boring questions.
Dearest Shane, Paul, and Kalina. Kalina? You got a personal chef, Shane? Kalina, go make me a sandwich.
No.
Anyway, here's my question. On the date of me recording this, in the United States, it is Memorial Day. Memorial Day is about honoring soldiers who have died fighting for our country. But I don't hear that. All I hear is sales. What do you think about the commercialization of holidays such as Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and others? Love, Earth.
Well, to use Shane's form, if you really like a holiday, why won't you spend money for it?
No, my argument on that is, you know, from a business point
joking.
Of view...
I'm just joking, Shane.
I know, but from a business point of view, it makes sense, because people are interested in these holidays, so why not make a bit of money off it, you know? Like, it makes sense from that point of view. Do I think it's right? I think that's a personal thing, you know, like... I personally agree with all these holidays being commercialized as much as they are. I don't think they should be. I think that's taking away from it. But I think that the advertisers and the companies in general are within their own right to try and make a buck or two off it.
I like our version of it better, Remembrance Day, which is usually observed in most Commonwealth countries.
Yeah,
there's
they
no
don't
commercialization
do anything on the 11th.
With that. There's nothing to do with commercialization on that, except for maybe selling poppies, but those usually go towards, like, veterans and stuff like that, or charity.
Yeah.
Which so you don't have, like,
a... don't do that in the U.S., do you, on the November 11th?
No.
No, we don't have Remembrance Day. I was going to say, do you get the day off, too?
Yes.
Yep.
So you just get the day off, that's pretty much it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and usually not... When you go to school, you usually have, like, an assembly or something like that, and a moment of silence, and all those ceremonies that usually happen.
Ah.
Let's see here. Australia, Barbados, Bermuda, Canada, India, New Zealand, South Africa, United Kingdom, and Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
With similar observances in France and Belgium, Germany, Hong Kong, Italy, Ireland, Netherlands, Poland, and the U.S. with Veterans Day.
Yeah, we do have Veterans Day.
It's slightly different, though, eh?
Yeah, we don't go out and buy flowers. At least not.
Well, you guys didn't fight in the First World War, so, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
You didn't fight in the first half of the First World War.
I'll give you that.
Nor the first half of the Second World War, might I add.
That's true on that one, too.
Damn you Americans and you...
But damn it, we went in and we finished it.
No, you didn't. We did. I think we liberated the most countries, didn't we?
For the
like
least
Belgium, Netherlands, Poland, didn't we, Pat?
We had a very small contingent of soldiers for our country size, and we probably made some of the most difference per soldier, probably.
Yes, that's what
I mean. If there was the same number of Canadians as there were Americans, we probably could have won the war on our own.
That's a good point. See, Paul?
I mean,
that's a...
I'm not even being, like, biased or arrogant there. I mean, that was
It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
That was the training and the resolve of the soldiers at the time. And they've always been looked up to as being elite, you know, so...
The British had the planes, and we provided the foot power.
Yeah. Even in Afghanistan, Canadian soldiers have usually gotten the more dangerous...
the dirty work.
Yeah, basically, the more dangerous places to work, usually outside of Kandahar, which always has...
And our tanks came out of hiding, too, used first time since the Korean War.
Oh, yeah. We have old equipment, but damn it, we can use it well.
Old equipment? Jeez, you're not joking on that.
Yeah, we had to hitch a ride with the U.S. to Afghanistan, didn't we? For the tanks?
We were probably more than happy to bring you guys along. Needed all help.
When World War I started, we had two battleships, one on the Pacific and one on the Atlantic.
Sounds probably about right.
Oh, okay. Well, we strayed from Earth's question there. Commercialized, I said no, but what did you guys say?
I don't like that it's become commercialized. When you start hearing Christmas music and holiday sales starting in mid-October, something is wrong.
Yeah. I don't know. The reason why they make it all commercialized is because it's a federal holiday here, so if you get the day off, basically. Mm. And if you get the day off, people want to make money. And yay, capitalism. That's just what we do. That's pretty much it. If you're going to have a long day or a long vacation, sometimes you even get a four-day weekend, you're going to be out on vacation and spending some money. I don't know. I don't really agree with it should be... commercialized, but that's what it has become, and that's it's all right. You get some nice deals, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep. Alrighty, anything else on that one from anyone?
Not really.
Next question is from Gnome Thorian. What'd you say, Paul?
He said USA.
Oh.
Thank you, Earth, for your question.
Thank you.
4 out of 5 questions, I think, this week are from Americans.
Yeah.
So let's be careful here. Kala.
Dear hosts of RSPNB, Gnome Thorin here, and I have 2 questions this week. First, what's your favorite sport to play? Secondly, what's your favorite sport to watch? Do they differ, and why? Thanks, Gnome Thorin.
Alrighty. My favorite sport to play is badminton.
I like badminton. Or ping pong.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
I don't mind volleyball.
Yeah. I'm absolutely terrible at ping pong.
Get it been up. Oh, good stuff.
Oh well.
In terms of watching though, I don't mind some hockey, although I'm not an avid follower. I don't mind going to hockey games. That's pretty much it.
Okay. Kala?
Mine to play is hockey, as long as it's not on skates, because I can't skate. street hockey-ish is pretty good fun to play.
Gotcha.
And to watch, definitely hockey. It's probably the only sport I truly watch avidly. We had our hockey discussion last week, so I won't go too much
yeah, we
further
did.
With that.
We did, and Jay's team lost.
Yay! I mean, my team won, yay! Not yay. It shall be a great series.
Yep. But as I said, badminton to play and to watch, I consider elections a sport. Like, the U.S. is already ramping up for the 2012 election, so that's a sporting event in itself, because, you know, there's all these primaries and stuff to go through, and the actual race, and then the final night, you know, it's just so exciting to sit and wait to guess the numbers, you know?
Starting the roids early.
What? The roids?
Yeah, starting the roids early so they can be ready by 2012.
Like the steroids?
Yeah, that would be what roids would be.
Oh, okay. Why do you need steroids for an election race?
Extra oomph.
Oh, okay.
Bring it out. Yeah, it's a metaphor. It's not actually steroids. At least I would assume so. I can't speak for the politicians in this country because we've got some very odd politicians.
Like, for example, this week in election sporting, Sarah Palin's bus tour, Mitt Romney announcing his candidacy, Obama wanting to try and raise the debt ceiling, all things that are going to play a role.
Personally, I like our election campaign better. You have 6 weeks of so-called shocking revelations, then you have one night where you have strange occurrences, and then it's over. And you don't think about it again for another year.
That would be nice.
Or 4 years now.
It's 4 years now, but usually it's a year.
On the plus side, when you watch all your television online, you don't get all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't miss it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not. You don't live in the United States where you have commercial after commercial after commercial about your governor, your lieutenant governor, the secretary, the president, the vice president. Oh.
Yes, we do actually.
Yeah, we actually have...
For like 5 months straight?
Six weeks. But not five months.
But our ads are actually decent, you know?
Well,
I like this round. I like the NDP and Conservative ads. They were pretty good.
Most of them are just inflammatory against the other parties.
But see, I get fun out of that because I like going online to fact check these ads.
It's just a pissing contest. It's like, oh, you did this, you did that. No, you said this. Oh, you said that. Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
And then you have the ultra patriotic, you know, like the Harper's ad, which apparently copied off of Tim Pawlenty's ad.
Oh, really? Was that the one with the that looked like the beer commercial?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. I like that ad.
Molson Canadian basically trademarked patriotic commercials.
Alrighty, well, thank you, Noam Thorian, for that question. That took another interesting turn. I have no idea.
Shane said politics were a sport, so there we go.
Yeah, it is a bit of a dogfight, isn't it?
Poker being a sport.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
You think poker would be a sport?
Well, it's on ESPN, so there you go.
Yeah.
Apparently, the world poker trip, or the world championship of poker has been going on since like the 50s or 60s or something like that, which
that's
I didn't really
getting
know.
Covered now?
I don't know if it just wasn't covered before, but I looked it up. Someone posted something on Reddit that involved someone getting, there's some award that they get, and like you get chips or like, I know they play with chips, but you get like a watch or something at the end, or a golden chip, I don't know, whatever you get. So I looked it up, and it's like been going on since the 50s or the 60s, and either way, that's still impressive. I didn't think it had been going on that long. But now it's really commercialized, and it's on ESPN. What the heck?
We don't get ESPN here, unfortunately.
I don't really care, but it's on ESPN, I know that.
Alrighty. Next audio question is from Uncle Dano, the one Canadian out of the group.
Greetings, illustrious hosts of RSB&B Update. Now, what would an audio questions-only episode of Update be without a submission from your favorite RuneScape uncle, Uncle Dano? My questions relate to the in-game music. I actually think the Jagex audio team has done a great job composing the music plays in the game. Some of the songs really set the mood. The song Garden really gives me a nostalgic, sentimental feeling and brings me back to the days when I was a noob and first walked into Varrock. I actually really like the music, and I frequently listen to a particular song when I'm doing something in the game. For example, I love Easter Jig for doing my farm runs. This one called The Root of the Problem I play when I'm about to hunt down the location of a shooting star. And this one, Dream Theater, for just mellowing out in the game. Anyway, do you have any favorite in-game music that you like to listen to? And do you ever make it a point to set the mood for a particular activity in-game with any music? Thank you for taking my audio question. Wishing you all, once again, Godspeed, and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
These guys are both going to say that RuneScape music sounds like MIDI music, but I'm going to agree with you, Uncle Dano, and say that, yes, definitely over the years, RuneScape music has improved. For instance, first up being their new thing that they use on the login screen, I think it's called Born to Do This. I think that, like, you know, it's a good way to create hype about what the game is about and everything. But I don't know if it was a good idea to replace it with the RuneScape theme song. So, but as for in-game music, typically I only have the music on when I am in a quest or some kind of new piece of content like that, because sometimes it's just a little too much overload for me having the music and all the little sound effects on in the background.
Yeah, I never did listen to RuneScape music to get in the mood. I had it on mute since I was on dial-up, so that was a long time ago. If I wanted to listen to music, I wouldn't be listening to RuneScape music. Yep.
Okay.
First of all, Shane, how dare you tell me what I'm going to say?
Well, you guys already said MIDI earlier.
Paul said MIDI earlier. I didn't say anything, actually, because I was waiting until the question to say it. I'll have to agree with you in that it has gotten better, because when it first started out, it was god-awful terrible, in the sense that it was like MIDI music from the mid-90s. Even if you can argue all you want that it is produced a different way, it did at one time sound like MIDI music.
But does it sound like MIDI music now?
Some do, and some don't. They did rehaul their music library a while back, as far as I remember.
Yeah, it does sound a lot better than it did, I'll give you that.
It does sound way better than it did. Would I actually listen to it when I have other things to listen to during game to actually get me pumped up for something? I still don't know. I might turn it on sometimes I turn it on every so often just to hear new music and stuff like that, but then I'll just promptly turn it back off and then listen to my other music.
Oh yeah, another time I turn the music on is when I'm showcasing the game to other people.
Who do you showcase RuneScape to? Just out of curiosity.
Family, a few friends.
Okay.
And as a marvel of what can be done with Java, you know?
I'll give you that.
I don't normally listen to the RuneScape music, though. I do from some, like maybe once a month or so when I was playing it. It has gotten better. I still think it has room for improvement. Yeah, I don't know how much more I can really say about it. It's not god-awful terrible now like it used to be. And some of it is just kind of, you know, dreamy music that I wouldn't listen to anyways, even if it was in a setting outside of RuneScape, you know? So, eh. Some of the boss battle music, or the wilderness music, sounded pretty good, though, I have to admit.
Yeah, one of the best songs I think they ever, produced was from the that first Master's Quest. What was it called? I'm forgetting its name.
First Grandmaster's Quest, you mean?
Yes, Well Gothic Sleeps. There we go.
Yes.
There we go.
I remember talking about that way back when.
Yeah, Temple Dissected. The Temple Dissected song that they put out as MP3 format was a good song, even in game, and this one that they put out here. So it's one of the ones that's actually available under the audio assets page. So if you guys are interested in that, you guys can have a look there. It's 2.9 megabytes, so it's of decent quality, too. So definitely something to think about.
I think they have the potential to get even better with it, but I think, what, do they have like three mods working on audio? And
yeah, last we heard, that's what it was. And, you know, that's really not much.
No. And that's not just music, that's also sound effects, too.
The clickety clack it makes when you cut a tree, or the sound a little hunter creature makes, too. And, you know, there's something to be said about audio, in that, you know, audio is often more than half of the experience when you compare visuals. When you compare an experience, you know, it's often more than half of the visuals. Like, people put emphasis on visuals all the time, whether it be TV or a signature on the forums looking nice. Well, that's a bad idea, but anything that involves media, I'd say audio is more than half.
Yeah. If the audio is bad, you're not going to watch the video.
Like, this sounds half decent, doesn't it?
That's a bad example if you don't want to showcase MIDI.
But it doesn't sound MIDI.
The drum noises. The drum noises sound MIDI-ish.
But now it doesn't.
I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying if I can listen to this or I can listen to some AC/DC, I'm not going to pick that.
Oh. Well, AC/DC is evil.
Okay, then.
Yes. Metal music is Satan's work.
I was just last AC/DC going through this town in New York called Malone. It says, well, come to church with us on Sunday. So I would roll down the windows and crank up the AC/DC because they think that's evil. Yep.
I hate people that do that.
Sorry.
I shouldn't be able to... When you hear your music when I'm inside your house.
You wouldn't. I don't listen to much.
When you were talking about how much audio enhances the game experience, I think you're completely right, because most games that I've truly enjoyed as one of the games that I'll always come back to playing, it almost always has great music. And I think right now you could look at the benchmark for the new age of PC gaming, and that's probably Command & Conquer and those games of 1995, where you had this really great soundtrack that sounded like it was actual music and not just MIDI music-ish type sounding music. And always go back to something like that. And if they could do that back then, 16 years ago already... Man, we're old.
Yeah.
If they could do it back
then. The 90s was 20 years ago. What the heck?
They could certainly do it now. And I think that's... They have lots more room for improvement. I think they should put more people on audio, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the thing. We also have to remember it's expensive, because you got to write the music, you got to produce it, you got to actually create it, and then you actually got to find a way to compress it down enough to get it into the game. So.
But if you do it right, it's... very, very worthwhile. Yeah. You'll also have people that want to buy the CD of the game music. I mean, if you're talking about ways for Jagex to make more money, do it that way. Make music
idea.
That they could actually sell on, like, iTunes or something like that. You could make... how many songs do they have right now? 200?
Oh, I mean, 700. Like, 767.
767. How many CDs is that worth? Especially if you have if you make it so they're like, what, 30 to 50 cents each song. I mean, they could make bucket loads of money off of that, even.
Yeah, if people wanted to listen to them.
Exactly. So if you make it worthwhile to listen to, then it's very, very worthwhile. And I think you'd actually have more people playing the game. And playing the game, more or less, playing the game with the sound on.
Well, yeah, it would become more immersive, too, you know?
Exactly.
Like, you'd actually get people focusing on the game rather than doing other things at the same time.
Yes. So, if you do it that way, I think that would be the best thing they could do at this point. But they're inching there, but they haven't quite made it... CD.
Yeah, well, it's Jagex. They're like a big battleship. You can't turn a big battleship around quickly.
No, they certainly aren't doing it very quickly. I mean, what, 10 years in the making now, almost?
Yeah. Yep. Already.
But that's
on music then?
That's my little spiel on...
It's immersive, just not for me particularly. Kola, you said it's you like it a little bit, and Shane, you like it a lot.
Yeah, there we go. Alrighty, our last audio question this week is from Indy Drew.
Airbnb update, this is Indy Drew. I was wondering what to wear and use out in the wilderness while doing a Slayer task for green dragons. My Slayer level is 36 and my combo level is 95. Second question. Have you used the Ceridwen God Sword? If so, how is it, and is it worth it? Third question. The resizing my screen did help, so that's Indy Drew out.
Third is a comment, and I assume that was tech question last week. Or a tech-related question.
A few weeks back, because I don't remember what number it was on. But in any case...
You're welcome. From Shane, probably. yeah. What was the first one was, what armor should he wear fighting green dragons in the wilderness?
Well, first off, before Paul chimes in with his answer, I'm going to say that if you're a member... You want to go into the chaos tunnels and fight them there because there are more of them. You don't have to worry about PKRs, and it's actually close to the GE. So it's a nice way to make some money off that. So if you're a member, you might want to do that instead of actually going to one of the Green Dragon spots.
On the downside to that, it is multi-combat, so just be warned.
Yeah, that's true as well. So you don't want to get fried.
Did he say what his defense level was? Or not.
No, I am going to take a gamble and bet that his RuneScape name is Indy Drew, and if not... Oh, there is someone named Indy Drew. Combat level, you know, defense 73. I'm hoping...
Alright, so we can pretty much wear everything. So, judging by that level, I would go with probably rune armor. So you don't want to wear magic. You want to have a dragon fire shield, or anti-dragon shield. You have to have that. Yeah. Just kind of go away. Or no, yeah, do you want dragon? Do you want dragon hide? It's been a while.
No, I think melee armor is fine for dragons. I always use melee armor for dragons.
Mm-hmm. Alright, sounds good.
Kola, what do you use for dragons?
I think I just used normal dragon armor. Like, you know, the red stuff.
The red stuff, okay.
Yeah.
So it was for melee.
Yeah. I used melee armor. So.
And of course, if you want a three item, you can do that as well. So, chest, anti-dragon shield, and weapon. But I don't know. Rune armor's cheap enough that if you have a decent supply of money, you can just restock on that. And chances are, if you get killed, you're going to keep your most valuable pieces anyways.
Yeah, and if you attack you're going
first.
And if you get to keep any of what you're killing, like the bones, I'm sure those are still really expensive. I kind of doubt they went down anytime recently. So basically, you're going to make your money back even if you die a couple times.
Yep, dragon bones are 4,500 GP each.
That's about what I remember them being, I think.
Well, they have gone down, actually.
Jeez, they've gone up. They were up.
Holy! But they used to be 7,100. Now they're 4,500, so...
They must have gotten merch, and they jumped pretty darn quick. Or something came out.
Bots, possibly, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But, when was that?
But, you know, the jump happened when free trade came out. So, the free trade jump was definitely due to that, and then it just seems like it normalized over time.
It's kind of hilarious, because it was back when free trade went away, the price went up, not down. And then now that free trade is back, it went up again. Of course, that was right around the time that Piety and all those other multi-combo prayers came out. So
yeah.
So how just like gas prices, no matter what happens, the price goes up.
Yeah.
How much did you pay per bone?
When I got 99? Yes. I think the most I paid was 1600 GP each.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's cheap. Yeah, I paid like, I bought, I think 60k of them at once. And, that was like the largest of my pile was 60k. And, yeah, I when I was doing my, it wasn't Slayer at the time, I had 85 Slayer and I was just raising attack or strength defense. One of the, I think it was probably attack. Whenever I get a whip drop, I would put 1.5 mil into that into bones, which would usually get me 1,000, and then I put the extra 100k or 200k into the bank. I did that a couple times, and
then
I just bought the rest of them.
Nowadays.
Yeah, everything that used to be expensive in terms of usable items is fairly cheap, and everything that you use to skill is very expensive. At least when you use it in multiple, when you need to use 100,000 of them, it's very expensive.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, just basic melee armor in that you don't want to worry about losing. So in this case, mithril. I mean, not mithril. Where did I get that?
rune, not mithril.
Oh, that is really basic armor.
Even I'm not quite that slow.
Yeah.
What was the second question? So that was the first one we covered. The third was a comment, and Shane said he's welcome. You're welcome. And what was the second question?
Serodome and Godsard.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
is it useful?
You've used it, Shane.
Yeah.
I don't. Kala, did you use it when you remember? Or?
I'm too poor to get Godswords.
Oh.
They're only 28 mil right now.
Actually,
really?
Leo did actually let me borrow the, I think it was the Bandos Godsword. They're pretty good. I still prefer the quick, say the whip or the scimitar-ish.
Yeah, but now everyone wants a rapier or longsword.
Yeah.
You have to do dungeoneering for that, right?
Yeah.
You have to restore it. It's not, unless they change that. You have to recharge it every so often?
Yep, with tokens or a combination of tokens and GP.
Are those chaotic things I keep hearing about?
Yeah, the chaotic longsword, chaotic rapier, those are the two best ones. The boss hunting one that everyone likes is the longsword, the rapier for more general stuff. I'm not sure which one I would get. I don't plan on doing it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, by all means, if you can afford a Serodome and Godsword, go for it.
Yeah, it basically put my set of Guthans into, or Gunthans, whatever. It put it into disuse. I did not use it at all for healing anymore. It was fantastic.
I don't have a God Sword, and I don't use Guthans anymore either. All I use is the Enhanced Excalibur 4 from the Sears Village thing, and sometimes a Bunny Up, and that's it. So.
Yeah, now that Dungeoneering, or not Dungeoneering, freaking A. Now that Summoning's out, and you can have something restore your health automatically, or just have a full inventory full of food, plus the fact that you have the Excalibur, which is fairly easy to obtain. It's not as useful, but I enjoyed it. I did a lot of Slayer with that Godsword.
Yeah, you know, like if I was
13 mil. Not joking.
If I was,
If
I was doing Slayer, I would buy a Godsword, a Serodome and Godsword. And, you know, even if you're not looking at the healing, and if you're looking for a good strength weapon, I would still go with the Bandos Godsword, which is only a smidgen more than the actual Serodome and Godsword. I mean, the Serodome and Sword.
I was going to say, what? The Bandos Godsword got to the Serodome and Godsword?
No. These Bandos is really only 6.7 million.
Seriously? Oh, jeez.
Yep.
I bought the first one of that for like 60 mil.
Oh.
I made my money back. It wasn't a problem, but jeez, stuff just drops.
Yep.
Or rises in some cases. Anyway, so yes, get it if you can. If you can't, then don't worry about it. Get your something up and get a bunny up or something.
Or a unicorn at 88.
I didn't use it as much as I would have. I like the bunny up more. You have to actually pay attention.
Yeah, it's simpler because you don't have to click for a scroll.
And that was the last question, correct?
Yes, that was the last question. So we're done with questions now. Moving on to the tech news. Paul, you mentioned this to me earlier, but Sony has been hit again.
Again by
what's this? Three times now?
I don't know. It was a lot. They were hit by Lulzsec, or this new anonymous-esque, at least in terms of some of what they've done. Although,
and it was a freaking SQL injection. Like, that's the simplest attack you can run against.
It was very, very low. They got that. Well, Sony, last I heard, did not confirm that this happened, but they.
Well, it's from the BBC. I think the BBC would be pretty reputable.
No, but the Sony didn't actually confirm that what Lulzsec said they did happen. But then again, they've been under all this pressure lately. It wouldn't really, you know, it doesn't really pass my mind that it didn't happen. They got a bunch of passwords and usernames, and that was pretty much the.
And that's another issue. You never, ever, 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 ever. Ever store a password unhashed in the database.
Yeah. And that's how they were claiming that they got them, which was like, Sony, seriously, haven't you learned yet? It was from Sony Online Entertainment. It wasn't, or Sony Music Group. It wasn't from PlayStation.
It wasn't PSN.
No. It was completely unrelated. Sony's a big company.
For everybody who doesn't know what a SQL injection attack is SQL, SQL is the language, or I guess you could call it a language, used to communicate and issue commands to databases, so inserting stuff, grabbing stuff, updating, and whatnot. And the idea is you use programming APIs in languages like PHP, C#, Java, whatever, to do these kind of things. And if you're putting unsanitized data into your SQL strings, a user can then insert their own SQL code inside those strings if your data inputs are not sanitized correctly. And that's what a SQL injection is. And, you know, they're mega simple to protect yourself against. Like, it's just stupid. Like, how is this happening? Like,
yeah, anyways. It's a shame that it happened again.
But it's only three times in a row.
Well, at least on the plus side, well, at least in Sony's plus side, they didn't get any credit card information, which is good. But you're just screwing over your users that like your products. I can see you editing. Yep. It's like distracting almost.
I didn't edit anything.
I saw your little cursor move around. Yeah, it's popped up. That went away.
Alrighty, so, you know, just be careful what information you give out there. And, you know, at this point, it's safe to say that if you're buying stuff online, you better have some kind of alternate account that you're using other than your main credit card account. Like, just use PayPal if you can. That's what I, like, think I will always be able to do and hope every site has PayPal, you know?
Yep.
Anyways, next up. Pentagon doesn't rule out military force against cyber attacks.
That's interesting.
The war on cyber terror.
The literal war on cyber terror.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is good in realizing that this is good in teaching people on the internet that what you do online means that you're not. Like, even if you think you have the veil of anonymity, you're still held accountable to your actions. So if anybody out there in their basement thinks that they're going to attack the U.S. government with some DDoS or rootkit or something, that's invitation to get your house bombed. Well, probably not.
Well, not bombed, but military would be like a raid type thing, I assume.
Yeah.
Although, they could be talking at least. I mean, that's fairly low level in terms of what has happened in the past. The Sony type stuff, I mean, it's kind of impressive, but it's not like, you know, national security impressive. I think this would probably be more for if China decides to to, you know, hack into our power grid and shut major cities down, that would be an act of war, in which case military could be used to defend. Or something.
Yeah, you know,
along
that makes
lines.
Sense because there's been some security researchers in the past who say that foreign governments have indeed infiltrated Pentagon computer systems.
Yeah.
And that even happened here in Canada, too. And they, I think if I'm remembering the story correctly, they both had the same kind of signature, too. So, you know, that's kind of strange, organized like that. I don't think it would be some, like, standalone organization. I think it would have to be someone state-sponsored somewhere, you know, like Iran or North Korea. I wouldn't even say China as much anymore, but
I'd
be more to say either of those.
Well, so. I don't know why they do that, that we kind of have their money. We don't have to give it back.
Yeah, they've got you guys kind of already wound around their finger, don't they?
It's a give take. Seriously, I mean,
with all that debt.
Yeah, well, it's like if they wanted it back, and we gave it to them, the world economy would collapse.
And sometimes that's what's needed to make things better.
No, that would be a very, very bad time for
everyone.
But it
would flush the system out.
Yeah, we'd also go friggin' batshit insane and shoot everybody. It would be World War III in a very, very bad sense. Which is, it's not good that it's gotten this far. I will definitely give you that. But it just, it's not good to end it dramatically.
Yep. Well, that's a topic for another show entirely.
Go. Probably a good way of putting it.
Yes.
So, on to a very China. less dramatic
a
subject.
A light writer's story. Building Windows 8. Video 1.
Yes. I look
forward
to
assume you guys both watch this, right?
Yeah, I think Trekkie had a post on the forums about it.
I believe
Trekkie
did.
Yeah. You know, there are people out there who say that this is stupid and they don't think this is the version of Windows and whatever. But those people are just resistance to change, you know, and they don't have the mindset to think of what the future operating systems could look like and stuff, you know? Like, that's the thing with this. You gotta have an open mind as to what's happening with Windows. And, you know, this is something that Microsoft has needed to do probably since Vista. They need an alternate shell to start changing things over and switch away from what we've known as classic since Windows 95. So I personally think this is a good way to go for Microsoft. And, you know, Microsoft isn't gonna attempt something like this. They're a big company. They've got numerous HCI researchers. They're not just going to throw this out. They would put this through tons of usability testing, and it's going to be the result of all that usability testing that is going to produce this product at the end. So, for those of you guys saying that this is a stupid idea, think of Microsoft as a company, you know. And well, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's a good, it's a nice step forward, it's in the right direction. I don't really see the new interface being used on traditional PCs as in a desktop or laptop. But as we see more touch devices such as tablets and convertibles, and I suppose if they do, you know, port it to, well, since they're going to put on ARM, theoretically smaller devices such as a phone that you could theoretically run Windows 8 or, you know, Windows 9, whatever, probably not Windows 8. But something in the future, having a touch interface that's very, very natural, like the Windows Phone-esque Metro style UI, is going to be necessary. And I don't think it's going to be used so much on what people traditionally use. But as soon as you get into a tablet or something, it looks great. It's nice to have both the classic if you want to have that, but on a tablet or something that just doesn't make sense. But as soon as you go to the touch interface, it's like perfect.
Yeah, and that's the thing with this. So. You know, you got to also remember that there are laptops out there, not just Mac laptops, but Windows laptops as well that have multi-touch in their trackpads. So this could be applied to laptops and netbooks like that as well. And, you know, Microsoft is releasing a touch mouse this summer that uses multi-touch. So that's another way of interfacing with it. And, you know, somebody out there will make a driver so the Magic Trackpad works with Windows.
Well, did you see the link I posted?
For the app to show its personality.
No, I didn't. Oops.
Oh, I was going to say, if you go, I saw it on Lifehacker when it came out, but basically, you go to Apple and you can download their drivers for the bootcamp version, and you extract it with 7-Zip or WinRAR or whatever the heck you want, and you can install it and it does work. I don't think it's probably all that great, because Windows doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't have multi-touch. It's just got the two-finger scrolling stuff. Yeah. But, I mean, somebody could make one. I mean, people have made these drivers for Linux to make the trackpad work.
It's Apple trackpad. Technically, they should write the drivers because
it's their
product.
But they got it working
on
Linux.
Well, I'll give you that, but Apple should really be the person to, or the company to get the drivers out. Like,
you know, with these alternate tile kind of interfaces like this and the application demos they give, I am hoping that this ushers in a new era for the Windows APIs and application development. Because right now, the main issue for Windows and me is the applications. The applications everybody makes on Windows are so generic and plain compared to the rich applications you get on OS X. So, you know, I'm hoping that this UI will push the developers in a direction and provide the APIs to make great applications like are demoed here.
Well, the interesting point about that is that since they're advocating for HTML5 and JavaScript, just that's it for your applications...
Well,
that means they can
that's
be
already
cross-platform.
Rich as it is, right?
Hmm?
Yeah. So that,
yeah, that,
and
that
people
means
are already making rich
one,
applications
write,
with those.
You could write with Windows. You write for Windows, have it specific, or not even specific for Windows, but you write your program for Windows, and then all of a sudden you can use it on Linux, Mac. You could use it on a touch device. It's great.
Yeah, that's good.
But same then, work or out there.
You know,
more,
I don't think we'll be seeing RuneScape in one of these alternate. Style of UIs in Windows. You'll probably still have to use Classic for that, I'd imagine.
That would make more sense. It's made for keyboard and mouse. Stuff that's traditionally made for keyboard and mouse would make sense to stay keyboard and mouse.
But... Yep. Kyle, you got anything on this? You've been rather quiet through the start.
I just like
we've been rather talkative, too.
I like listening to you guys talking about tech stuff.
Yay!
Well, it seems like they're trying to do some sort of innovation with it, which is probably good. I'm not sure. There's not really much to talk about because they haven't really shown very much yet, but looking at the possible release, it'll probably be either late 2012, which means that it's possible.
Actually,
it'll be
summer 2012.
Summer 2012? Okay.
Beta by September this year.
Oh, okay. So
it's pretty much roughly, it's the same release schedule as Windows 7.
Roughly a year, then. So, will it be worth it? Will it be the same sorts of problems that came up with, say, Windows Vista or Windows 2000? They always seem to do that skip a generation sort of thing, you know? So, will it have those same problems with
That's the thing. That's a very good question, because we didn't talk about that. We don't even know what they're doing under the hood yet for Windows 8, so that could be a very good question, because, you know, Windows 7 was the same kernel as Windows Vista, hence why everything worked with it, and it was so simple to upgrade.
So will Windows 8 be something completely new, or will it just be an enhanced version of Windows 7? We'll have to see, I guess.
I think they're planning on keeping it Windows 7 as like the... it's mostly going to be Windows 7 under the hood, at least from the, you know, broad sense of it. I know there's going to be changes, but I know they're going to require the same... hardware requirements, which is nice. It's not going up. I don't know. I kind of expect everything to just work. That currently works will just work, except for like video drivers and whatnot. Those will need to be tweaked, but that's kind of a given.
It just makes me wonder if Windows. It just makes me wonder if Windows 7 will become the new Windows XP. You know, like with
that's
how users stay with it. You know, they just stay with it regardless of whatever new comes up. You know, at this point, we'll have to see later on when they release more stuff. But
like, One thing I wish Microsoft would move on would be get rid of NTFS and get us a more modern file system that's more robust.
WinFS. Like,
yes, or even just move to EXT4, the same file system that current Linux variations use. You know, like EXT4 is a great file system. So is HFS Plus on OS X. Either of those would be great.
Is HFS Plus open in any way? Or?
I think it's an Apple venture.
Yeah, so EXT4 would at least make sense in terms of being able to be supported by everything currently. I mean, I don't know about...
Another thing I'd like to see them do is focus more on slimming down the kernel. You remember that MinWin demo they gave before Windows 7 came out of the totally minimalistic kernel that they were looking at? I wish...
That
was
the
kernel
PC
that ran in less than 64 megs of RAM.
Yeah, was that for the thin PCs? Thin clients?
I don't know.
Okay.
But basically, file system and kernel I'd like to see. And HFS Plus is by Apple, so that won't be happening.
Okay. Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, you know, because if you want to upgrade to a different, to a newer version of Windows, would it be worth the wait to wait for Windows 8, or should you just go up to Windows 7 now and hope that...
I think if you have Vista, you should definitely go to Windows 7 right now.
Well, yeah. But for what Kala said, I wouldn't wait for Windows 8 if you're having anything from this generation in terms of hardware. If you're getting something that's going to be touch, then getting Windows 8 is pretty much a given. If you don't do that, you're going to jip yourself out of a lot of performance. But for everything that Windows 8 is going to do, it sounds like current generation hardware, you're going to be fine with Windows 7. If you want to upgrade to Windows 8, that's fine. You might get some new stuff, but it's not going to be a necessary upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Basically, my biggest concern is, will it work well?
I think it'll work
not
well.
With your
hardware. What we're going to do is... Oh, you had issues?
No. Not really. I just... You guys like the intricacies of it, whereas I'm like, will it work as a whole, you know? Does it work well?
The nice thing that Microsoft has learned from Windows 7 is that people like to test shit out. So what they're going to do is they're going to stick the beta out this year. They're going to have RC out by probably early next year,
which
will be for public release. So if you get that, you'll be good for 6 months on Windows 8. You'll find out if anything works. Anything doesn't work, you'll get the full. They'll probably do the Windows 8 if they. Oh, I think they did confirm Windows 8, right? That's the name.
Yes.
So it'll be Windows 8. I don't know if they still have the same. Selling schemes, it'll probably still be Windows 8 Ultimate. You'll get the full everything for 6 months, and you get to test whatever the heck you want out, and then they'll iron out all the bugs, or you know, at least the ones that people complain about a lot, and by the time Windows 8 official comes out, it'll be well-tuned and ready for the masses, which is good.
So they're planning on doing it better than the release, then, which is a good sign, I think.
Yep.
Alrighty. So, that's it for tech news this week. Moving on to other things, including the Skill of the Month update, the Defense Skill of the Month.
Yes. It's
and our winner for...
May.
Right. Yeah.
That was the word you were looking for?
May.
Yes. All right, so...
Congratulations to Brian B. for winning the May Herblore Skill of the Month.
Yay!
Yes, congratulations to him. You know, we were right in that it was pretty much his throughout the entire thing, so... Until the second half, at least, so... Good job, everyone, and, you know, Herblore is an expensive skill, so congratulations to everybody who was there in the top 5 by the looks of it. So, good job.
I have to say, though, defense is going to be an interesting skill of the month to watch.
Yeah, it's free to play again, so hopefully someone's going to step it up.
Yeah, there's already been 1.2 million experience gained by our top competitor, James, so he's well off to the races. Second is Pris with 978k, and third is the Lion 777 at 688k. So, and then everybody else is in there, and even though I'm at rank 22 today, I did get XP after the thing went in, so I have got XP so far, so I can't be harassed for not getting XP.
Yay!
You have XP.
Yes, I do. So, as Kala said, interesting one to watch because, you know, it's defense and everybody can train it, and there's pest control and Soul Wars, Slayer, camping, and a whole bunch
and
of
we
stuff.
And we haven't had a true combat skill of the month in a long time. Like,
yeah, you know, you can't really call summoning a combat skill of the month because, well, we saw the summoning graphs and, you know, they're rather funny and boring. So
I mean, there was magic in December 2009. Before that, there was strength in August 2009.
There was a magic
April
fairly
2011
recently,
was magic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess so. Before
but
that,
you could technically do that all by alking, so there's not necessarily combat in that one.
Yeah. Hit points in November 2008.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do without combat.
And magic before that, and then other than that, if you discount magic, then there's been Slayer, which I guess is pseudo combat, hit points and strength. And how long ago was the strength one? Well, it was when I was still free to play and I was actually actively involved in it. So, I think the winner has a chance to get quite a bit of XP this month. So, good luck to all competitors.
Indeed.
Yep. And no achievements this week because nobody got any level 99, so that'll be brought back next week.
Aww.
Congratulations to everyone who didn't get a 99.
Everybody wins! Yay!
Alrighty. Kala, you have a pick for us.
I do indeed. It is called Epic Rock Radio. It is basically a online radio station where you can request songs. Most of the songs are based on requests. You get two at a time, and it's
how much
most
does it cost to do a request?
Nothing at all. It's completely free. All you have to do is register an account. And then you can request songs, and you just request it online. You go on in the bar there. You go to request songs, and then in the drop down menu that comes up, you select the artist on the left, you select the album on the right, and then on the bottom there's a list of songs in that album. So
I've never heard of any of these people.
No, they're most what it likes to call itself is. Do you like to listen to extremely complex metal music where it doesn't sound like the lead singer just swallowed a bucket of gravel? Then you've come to the right place. And that is basically what Epic Rock Radio it is. It's a mix of progressive rock, power metal, folk metal, and stuff that sounds really good but doesn't include a lot of growling or screaming or all of those other sorts of things that you get with death metal. So it's actually really nice to listen to and just put it on in the background on a quiet note. And a lot of the good bands are in here. Like the main ones that you'd know of would be probably Dream Theater, Camelot, and Blind Guardian, Sonata Arctica. Nope. Those are big bands, but in the genre, but not that you would hear on radio, for instance. Basically, what the guy, his name is Caleb, he started this up way back when, and basically what he wanted to do is fill that niche where there's a lot of metal radio stations out there in some of the bigger cities, but they don't really cater to this sort of group of music.
Oh, I see.
So he tried to fill that void by having this sort of mix of progressive and rock and as well as metal. So I think it's worked out
too.
Pretty good. Yes, I think it's very good.
that's what the internet is good for.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like that's where all of the tech shows should be, and they have been, like Revision 3 and Twit Network. But you know, that's also where Oprah should be having her network. She should be having her network online, just like this.
Yeah, but her followers aren't exactly the most savvy.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
I'm sure they all have computers.
You'd be surprised.
There are people like my mom who need a lot of help. Let's put it that way when it comes
to... What do you mean it's not on AOL? The AOL is the internet, right?
Like, yeah. You still pay for that?
But I think the best thing about this radio station is it isn't just someone DJing and talking. You get like a 10-second ad every 20 minutes or so of music just telling you you're listening to Epic Rock Radio. And the rest of it is completely request-based songs. Like, unless there's not enough people online, which is very rare, there will always be a list of songs that users request. And I think that's the best thing about it. It's not really arbitrary at all. You just listen to music whatever the users want to. And I think that's the best part of it. So that even when you request a song and there's, say, 20 songs in the list already, then you can just come back later just to listen to your requests if you want to.
Well, then why would you just go download that song and listen to it on your own?
It's possible, but you can also, you might not hear a few, you might not know what the songs are, for instance, and you just want to listen to a few songs. You might find new songs just by listening to these sorts of stations, you know? I think I've found a lot of new cool artists that I have never heard of before just by listening to these sorts of places, so... This is one that I actually really like, and I listen to it every so often when I'm just doing something on the internet or whatever. So I'm going to go ahead and request some songs so I can listen to them later.
Alrighty. Well, while you're doing that, we're going to say that the Informer Roundup is now up, and that can be found at informer.rsbnb.com, along with the rest of the other articles from this month, including one on online identity. But if you're if you want to go to informer.rsbnb.com, you can find that as well on the forums. Forums.rsbnb. We're not using that subdomain. I'm sorry. Never mind. rsbnb.com/forums.
Right.
Alrighty. And one more thing. It's June. That means it's RSBNB Update Birthday Month. So we are starting off by asking you guys for some reasons why you think RSBNB Update is great. And these reasons will be used for something. We're not going to say what yet, but we want to know why RSBNB Update is great. So what I'm going to ask that you do is head on over to update.rsbnb.com/great reasons, all one word. And then you're going to fill out this form, and you're going to tell us why RSBNB Update is great. Please do include your forum name so we can give you proper credit.
Update.rsbnb.com/great reasons.
I'm pretty much done though, so what have you guys been doing?
Not too much. Actually, I really haven't been doing too much. Just relaxing, enjoying the wonderful weather that's been outside for quite a while now.
Had wonderful weather?
Yes, in Canada we do get wonderful weather every now and again. It's been nice and sunny out there for about a week. It's been nice and sunny for a while, and what else have I been doing? I've been catching up on reading books, not any specific ones.
Oh, I wish I could do that.
Other than that, listening to music, I've been updating my iPod. It took me a long time to do that, so I've been when I did a clean sweep of my computer and reformatted, I basically lost my iTunes library. So I've been slowly adding songs.
You can get it back from your iPod. You know that, right?
I know that, but I just didn't have very much on my iPod, right? Because it was only it's only an 8 gig nano, so I have way more in my library than I do on my iPod, which is a bit of unfortunateness. But I've been working on that, and it's been going pretty good.
That's good.
And other than that,
you don't have to reformat then.
Yeah. Gaming. Sorry.
Give me that one.
My right. One word rebuttal always will be gaming.
Yeah.
Other than that, okay. Not too much that I can think of.
Alrighty then. Thank you, Colina. Paul?
I've had classes. I'm taking some classes this summer, and those are going amazingly class-like. yeah, can I say other classes? It's one day a week, 3.5 hours, so each.
Well, it's not too bad.
Oh, it sucks, but you know what? Whatever. Take them. I'm all set to graduate next spring, so that's nice. Anyway, so been doing that, having some no fun in the rain actually, because it's been raining pretty much nonstop.
Like the rain.
All of Vermont's basically flooded at this point. Luckily,
you know,
we're not
from global
in a
warming.
Flood zone. But yeah, have to do the mowing thing once a week and getting paid for that. It's nice.
You get paid for that?
No, I don't get paid for around the house. I actually have a place I go mow and get some money. Oh, yeah.
I've got too much around the house to even have time to do it anywhere else.
We've got our share of land to mow.
Farmer Paul and Farmer Colina.
Ugh. That sounds like a really bad children's show. Title.
Well, that's what we are. We're a children's show.
Way to sell yourself short there, Shane.
Yeah, we're a children's show. Okay.
All right. Oh, gosh.
I could go off into so many more things right then, and I really shouldn't, though.
As for me this week, I made a post entitled The Wire or something to that effect about what's going to be happening with something called RuneWire eventually, and that is what my bulk of stuff's been doing this week, just a bit of combat for some reason on RuneScape. I felt the reason to go start getting 95 strength because my defense is 95, but my strength is 93, so I want to equalize them. So that was my idea. A few farming runs, but that's about it, actually. Just lots of wire work. I don't think there's anything else for me to mention, so just remember to send us the great reasons once again at update.rsbnb.com/great reasons, so the more you send, the better. Everybody should try and send at least 5, that's good, or 6 even, so.
Or 10
if
you're
amazing.
6
would be ideal. Yeah, that would be good, so.
Just saying.
Anyways, I think that makes episode 311 done, which went off in so many different directions, so for proper names now, King Kulla.
Thanks everyone for listening to our ramblings.
Yay!
And Paul?
Hello, or I mean goodbye. I mean thank you.
You say yes. Goodbye, I say hello.
I'm just gonna say goodbye and we'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.